Matthew chapter number 4. Let's go to verse number 1. We'll read 11 verses together. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your guidance. Lord, we thank you for answers that you give us all throughout our Christian life. We thank you for your guidance. And Lord, I pray that your testimony while you lived here on earth, I pray that we could learn something from it, glean something from it to use in our life, Lord. I know if there's somebody that has been tempted, Lord, that we can learn from, there's nobody better than you. And so I pray as we study and look at your life, Lord, during this time, that we would examine it and realize that what you did is the same things that we could do in our life today, because we face the same enemy, but we serve the same God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Every believer, no matter how spiritual, will face temptation. No one is exempt. You're going to face temptation in your life. You may be strong in the Lord today, but tomorrow the enemy will come whispering in your ear. Temptation is not a sign that you are far from God. But I think it's more often a sign that the devil realizes you're getting too close to God. And so he starts to tempt you. Maybe you got saved recently, or maybe you just started coming back to church recently and getting more faithful. Guess what? The devil realizes that, and temptation might be stronger right now than it was previously, because he cannot stand. Once you're saved, you can't change that. But he cannot stand the fact that Christians are in church today. He loves the fact when Christians decide not to go to church. When you decide, you wake up, it's too early, I don't feel like this is my day off, or man, it's Sunday, man, I just want to relax today. The devil loves that type of attitude. He cheers it on. He is proud of you. But when you come to church, you get him upset. You tick him off. I don't know about you, but that puts a smile on my face when I do that. I'm not trying to make him happy with my life. I'm trying to make him happy with my life. And so when I'm in the book and I'm doing what the book's telling me to do, I know I'm doing something right when temptations are coming my way. But as a Christian, you are not strong enough to handle temptations on your own. I'm not strong enough to handle these temptations on my own. Thank God the day you got saved, somebody entered into your life named the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives inside of you today, and he is there to help you all along the way. The problem is a lot of Christians have that help available to them, but don't use it. Don't use his help. Don't go to him for advice. Skip going to church. Skip reading their Bible all the time. And the answers and the help is there, but a lot of Christians are not using what God gave them. From the beginning, the Bible shows us the danger of temptation. Adam fell in the garden. Israel fell in the wilderness. But here in Matthew, we see Christ, the second Adam, true Israel, standing in victory. I don't serve a defeated God, do you? The God I serve is a winning God. I don't know about you, but I love being on winning teams. And if you're a Christian today, you automatically got put on the winning team. Whether you're in the trenches and doing something great for God, or you're on the sidelines, you're automatically on the winning team. That should put a smile on your face this morning to know that. And before he could reign, he had to prove he could conquer. His credentials as king began in the wilderness. See, Jesus had to prove that he could go through what you and I go through to show us he could do it. He could become man, and he could provide the way and show, hey, I will endure temptation at the weakest point any person could ever go through, and I'll show you how to get through that temptation. That's what he did for you and for me. The devil knew if Christ sinned one time, he could not be your Savior. One time. You see, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. I cannot get you to heaven, and you can't get me to heaven. I give this example all the time. Me and my brother got in trouble. It felt like every time we got in trouble, it was together at the same time. Everything we did was always together. Man, we just line up. Justin goes first to get his spanking, then I go next. And see, the thing about my brother is he was never a good child when it came to getting spankings. He was like a demon. And he would just go crazy and just get my mom or my dad all riled up, frustrated because he wouldn't sit still to take his punishment. And then it was my turn. And I'm taking it like a man, you know, like I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to be a good child. And I get all the frustration and anger, boom, taken out on me. And I'm like, oh, I did that. It wasn't that bad. Can I go first? But in my family, it always went youngest to oldest. So if all four of us got in trouble, the youngest got spanked and I got spanked last. And man, I'm telling you right now, that was the worst thing ever, to get spanked last, because it was like, all right, you know what? I've had enough of all of you. You're getting it. And I'm like, what? I barely did anything. I'm a good kid. Come on now. But I remember getting in trouble with my brother all the time. You know what I could never say to my dad that would ever work? I could never say, hey, Dad, you know what? Give me all of Justin's punishment. Let him go free today. I'll take it all. Just give me an extra spanking today. Even though it felt like I got an extra spanking, all right? But no, I could never take his punishment. You know why? Because we both did wrong. And my dad knew, no, you both did wrong. And you both deserve punishment. If he gets away with it, he's going to do this again. He's not going to learn from his punishment. So I couldn't help him. He couldn't help me. It's the same thing in the Christian life. I can't help you get to heaven. You can't help me get to heaven. Right. Why? Because we're both guilty. Yes. We're both sinners. Amen. You say, well, I've done some terrible things. Look, in the eyes of God, sin is sin. And we've all done terrible things. We can't help each other. Right. But Jesus sent his son to die on the cross, come here to earth, to take away your sins and my sins, because he was perfect. He lived here on earth for 33 years and was perfect. Never sinned. I'm thankful for that, because today he's my Savior. And if you're a Christian today, he's your Savior. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, please, we have the answers. Not because we're anything great, but God gave them to us. And we read this book right here. And if you believe the Bible, the answer is right there. There's a lot of false religions out there. Maybe you've been to other churches before, and you think today you're going to heaven because you've been a good person or you got baptized or something. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible says. That's what man says. Someone made that up along the way. Someone took a scripture verse, completely twisted it, like Satan twisted scripture right here when he was tempting Jesus. Someone twisted scripture and gave you a false answer. You say, well, that's a pretty bold statement. I can say that boldly because I have the answers. You know how confident you feel when you know the truth? You know what I'm talking about? When you know the truth about something, man, you can say it with authority. But when you don't know the truth, it's, I'm pretty sure. I can say it with authority because I know the Bible has given me and you the answers for how to get to heaven. And if you don't know, if someone says, how do you know for sure? What are you basing that on? And you say, I don't know. I think I've been going to church, or my grandma went to church. And those are your answers. They're wrong. If I gave that answer, it was wrong. Do you want to know 100% for sure today? I hope if you don't know, if you're doubting it, today, before you leave, talk to one of us. At the end of the service, please. It will take a few minutes for us to show you how you can know 100% for sure you're going to heaven. Jesus died on the cross for you. Don't let it be in vain. He died on the cross so that you could go to heaven. It's simple. And it's not hard. Today, before you walk out that door, you could walk in maybe 50% sure or 0% sure. But when you walk out that door today, you could be 100% sure. I promise you, it can happen today. Jesus, the wilderness, the Bible says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the very next verse says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness." You see, before Jesus ever preached a sermon, before he ever healed the sick or called a disciple, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Isn't that something? Right after his baptism, when the heavens opened, the Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father's voice thundered. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the very next verse it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. See, before Jesus could reign, he had to fight. Before he could be your Savior and my Savior who brings victory, he had to demonstrate that he could win in the most barren, difficult, lonely place a man could be. But he did it for you. He didn't just do it for nothing. He did it for you. And the wilderness wasn't just dry land. It was spiritual warfare ground. I mean, he was going up against the ultimate enemy. It was hot by day, freezing by night, filled with wild beasts and empty silence. For 40 days, 40 days, Jesus fasted. 40 days. Prayed and faced the full fury of the enemy's temptations. For you, he did not have to do this. Just like he didn't have to go to the cross, he did not have to face Satan like this. He didn't have to. Remember, he's in charge of everything. He created Satan. He created the world. He didn't have to do these things. But he loved you and he loved me and he died on the cross. And now he's showing you, once you become a Christian, here's how you can get through temptation. I'm going to show you, so that nobody could ever have an excuse, I'm going to show you how I faced temptation in the hardest atmosphere and a place that a human can be, how I faced it, and it's the same way you can face it. Yet where Adam fell in a lush garden, Jesus triumphed in a barren desert. For you. There's a true story of during World War II, before they sent troops into North Africa, the army set up a training ground in the Mojave Desert. I mean, a terrible environment, one of the hottest environments and harshest environments in the United States, many times reaching upwards of 120 degrees or hotter. Has anybody ever been in that type of heat before? I have. It is terrible, all right? Pretty much you don't want to go outside. You stay inside on those days. But that's the type of weather that they set up this training ground. And many of the soldiers questioned their commanders why they were putting them through this. And many of them were writing home complaining to their spouses and different people back home, saying it felt more like punishment than it did being preparation. But those same troops, when they landed in the deserts of Libya, quickly realized the wisdom in their training. All of a sudden, they realized, hey, we know how to conserve water. We know how to fight fatigue. We know how to survive the heat. We know how to endure dryness. And all of a sudden, the same place that once felt like punishment had become their preparation for victory.
Right.
Had become their preparation for victory. You see, God will put you through the wilderness to prepare you for victory. That's exactly what's happening in Matthew 4. The Spirit didn't send Jesus into the wilderness to punish him, but to prepare him. The wilderness was his training ground for victory. Sometimes you've gone through some hard seasons in your life. Take your mind back right now. You go through and think of some hard times that were just some seasons in your life that, whew, they were lonely. There was a struggle. Man, there was a lot of testing during that time. And those times are not meant to destroy you.
Come on.
They're meant to develop you.
That's right.
God is preparing you for something greater, even if right now you're in a barren place. He's preparing you for something great. It's hard as a human being to not know what tomorrow holds. That's hard.
Yes.
But guess what? None of us have an advantage. I don't have an advantage over you. You don't have an advantage over me. You know what our advantage is as Christians? Him. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know he knows, and he's going to help us along the way. He's going to help take us through the wilderness. He's going to help prepare us for victory in our life. This morning, I want to preach to you a message entitled, Triumph in the Tempter's Trap. Triumph in the Tempter's Trap. He is going to do everything he can to trip you up, to put you in a trap, and to try to get you to destroy your life. But God, Jesus, said, I can help give you triumph in that time. I can show you the way. His life, his testimony showed us here in Scripture how to have triumph. Number one this morning, the Spirit's leading in the wilderness. The Spirit's leading in the wilderness. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hunger. Notice carefully, Jesus did not wander in the wilderness by mistake. He was led of the Spirit. The Spirit sometimes leads us to hard places. Yes. Not to destroy us, but to prepare us. We can see three things here. First, the place, the wilderness, lonely, barren land, no friends, no comforts, just silence and struggle. You know what's great about being able to get to come to church? Is you're not alone, and it's not silent. There's a lot of kids around here. It's definitely not silent. But boy, you're not alone. You get to come to church today. You're not experiencing today what Jesus experienced. You're not alone. For one, you got a Savior who's there to help you and guide you along the way. But then you've got other fellow Christians. You've got a pastor. You've got all the help that you could possibly need. But a lot of times we avoid it. And we think, oh, we're going to get through this on our own. We've got the answers. We see the place. We see the preparation. Fasting for 40 days. Christ set aside every earthly comfort, showing complete dependence on his Father. His hunger was real. He was man as well as God, though. I told my wife, I said, before the year ends, I want to do a fast. But I didn't tell her I want to do a 40-day fast. Anybody done a 40-day fast in here? All right. Anybody fasted before? Anybody fasted before? All right. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, they say fasting is very, very healthy for your body. Very healthy for your body. But I tell you, by fasting, it's a great time to spend time with the Lord. Boy, you feel weak. But God can do some great things through fasting. There's a reason why God's used fasting all throughout Scripture. There's a reason why he fasted during this time. He wanted to show you in his weakest moments that he was able to say to the devil, "It is written." See, God gave you Scripture. I wonder, though, today, when you're faced with temptation, what verse are you running to?
Come on.
What verse comes to your mind? Where do you run? What chapter, what verse do you say, that's where I go to for encouragement? That's how I face Satan. When Satan comes tempting me, and when I'm having a rough day, man, I quote this Scripture verse, or I open up my Bible and I read this passage of Scripture. Jesus said to the devil many times, "It is written." Because Satan could not compete against the Bible. He could not compete against God's Word. What are you using? Your own words? Or are you going to use Scripture today? I challenge you as Christians or new believers, man, stop trying to face Satan on your own. I've seen so many Christians quit on God, quit on church, quit on their spouses, quit on their kids, quit on other family members because when temptation came, they trusted in themselves to get through it rather than him. Rather than a church family helping them, rather than a pastor being there to help them, rather than getting in their Bible more, they trusted in themselves, and before long, they quit on life. They quit on God. They quit on church. They quit on everything, and their life became a disaster. And they're so swallowed up now in the world, they don't know how to get out of it. Would that be you this morning? They didn't say when they left church or when they started making those decisions that, you know what, I hope that I get to a place where, man, I'm strung out on drugs, I'm an alcoholic, I divorced my spouse, my kids hate me, the list goes on. Nobody talks like that. But temptation and sin, when it gets a hold of you, gets control of you, and that's exactly where it brings you. Every one of you in this room could name people in your life that you've seen personally where sin has taken them, where the devil has taken them in their life. And you would say, man, I never want to do that. You stay out of church, you stay out of your Bible, and you stop saying to the devil, "It is written," you'll be there before long. You'll be there before long. A deacon in my church growing up, kids, the dad decided he didn't want to have his kids come to the Christian school, and he wanted his kids to go to a public school. My dad just tried to warn them, man, there's a lot of dangers in the public school, and he tried to help this family, and man, he was a deacon in our church, great, great family. And I remember little by little, they started just kind of being upset with my dad or being upset at different preaching, and they started pulling back on a lot of things. They were involved in a lot of different things in the church, and they started pulling back, and they weren't as faithful to church anymore. And all of a sudden, it was like, is he going to be able to be a deacon anymore? Because he's not even, something's off with them. And they just started being involved in more of kind of worldly things that were going on, work things that, and all these different things. It was just something was off. We didn't know what was going on. Before long, they decided, you know, well, we're not going to come to church here anymore. We're going to start going to this other church over here. And they'd been in our church for nearly 20 years. They started going to another church that, you know, was more appeasing to the lifestyle that they wanted to live. Didn't preach everything in the book, only preached a fewer things in the book. More loving pastor and caring pastor that just, you know, had fluff words and made everybody feel good. And when you came to church, you just smiled during the preaching and just, oh, that feels so good. I'm not kidding you. That's the type of preaching they wanted. They didn't say it in those exact words, but that's basically what it came down to. And I was the youth pastor at that time, and I remember seeing this happen, and they left church, and then they started talking bad about the church and started just tearing down the church, trying to get other people to leave the church. Before long, their son had become a homosexual. Their youngest son, they had two sons. Their son had become a homosexual, and then all of a sudden, one day, we got the call that he killed himself. Killed himself. Their other son today is, I'm talking about sharp boys, bright, like, man, you high, great future. You're just like, man, high expectations for them. The other son, long-haired hippie that just barely, sometimes he's been in and out of being homeless, drunk, strung out on drugs. Deacon's kids sat right where you're sitting in church, didn't miss a church service, came to church, but some parents decided to stop fighting the devil the Lord's way.
Come on.
Started fighting it their own way. Stopped saying it is written.
Yes, sir.
And started trying to live the Christian life their way instead of his way. And it affected their family.
Yeah.
Affected their family. And now their parents just live in heartache. I don't want that upon anybody.
Right.
I don't want that upon you today. We see the preparation of fasting 40 days. We see the purpose to demonstrate that Jesus is the sinless Son of God, able to conquer Satan where Adam failed. A blacksmith puts iron into the fire not to destroy it, but to make it stronger. And the fire, it burns, the hammer strikes, and the anvil resounds. But all of it shapes the iron into something useful. It's the same thing with you and me. God puts us through things, and the Spirit is leading you through things in the fire in the wilderness to try to get you to form to what He wants you to be. He's trying to form your life to be more like Him. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but He knows. He's trying to teach you to trust Him. He's trying to teach you to start giving your life more to Him. Start sacrificing more. Start getting in the Bible so that when the devil comes a knocking, you just say, well, let me see what the Bible says about that. Let me see what the Bible says. Let me quote this scripture verse because Jesus did it and it worked back then and I'm going to use it today. And guess what? It's going to work today. Sometimes you feel alone in your own wilderness, empty, tested, weak. But remember, if God's Spirit led you there, it was for a purpose. It was for a reason. Just trust Him all along the way. Number two, the subtlety of the tempter. The subtlety of the tempter. The devil came to Jesus with three temptations, back to back to back. Each one appeals to a different side of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Anybody been tempted with those before? All right, you've been tempted? Okay. We've all been tempted with those things. There's a reason why Jesus was tempted with all these things.
Yeah.
Open your eyes, Christian.
Yes, sir.
Look what He went through. Look how He went through it. Look how He handled it. The first temptations was turning stones into bread. He said in verse number 3, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Here Jesus said again. So He's tempting the flesh. Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live by what?
Bread
alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man, that just makes me, that pumps me up that God just came back at him with scripture every time. Satan tried twisting scripture. You see a lot of religions today try to twist up scripture. If you know the Bible, you know what the truth is. You know what is the King James Bible, the truth. There's a reason why they've tried to change up the Bible, because Satan's a part of that. You think Satan wants you to know what the truth is? If you don't think Satan has had any part in all the different versions of the Bible, I'm going to try to be nice, but something's crazy going on. You don't think he wants Christians to not know the truth? So if he doesn't want them to know the truth, he can't get rid of this.
Right.
Satan knows he's not getting rid of the Bible.
Right.
He's smart. Okay, he knows he can't get rid of the Bible. If God wants to get rid of something, God's going to get rid of it.
Right.
Satan's not going to get rid of it, okay? God created the Bible, and Satan knows, okay, I can't get rid of his word. I know that'll last forever, but I can try to change it. I can try to mimic it, and I'm going to get it into the hands of so many people, innocent people who think it's the word of God. It sounds like the word of God, just like Satan tried to quote scripture at Jesus out of context, but it was twisted, and Jesus put him straight and said, no, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. He came back with him with the truth. I'm here to tell you this morning, the King James Bible is God's Word. It's the truth this morning. If you don't have God, the King James Bible, and you got some other version, some other man went through and changed up and said, now we'll take that verse out. Look at your verse. I can show you scripture verses that have been taken out of your Bible, have been completely changed. Completely changed the meaning of scripture. Why? So that you don't know the truth. Satan started it back then, and he's still changing God's Word today. The subtlety of the tempter. The issue is not bread, but obedience. The second temptation was the pinnacle of the temple. Go to verse number 5. It says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Satan even quotes scripture in Psalm 91, trying to twist God's word. And here it is again. Jesus replies, it is written. He says, again. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I mean, every time Satan comes out, I got him this time. Oh, come on. Why are you coming at me with another scripture verse? Why are you putting me straight? You think the devil would have learned the first time. I mean, he wrote the scripture, so wouldn't he know it? Third temptation, kingdoms of the world. He says in verse number 8, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. It almost sounds comical, right? So God created the world, and now Satan's, the ruler now of the world. He says, I'll give it all to you. I'll give Jesus. You look at all this incredible things that your father created. I'll give it all to you. If you worship me, he offers him a shortcut, the crown without the cross. But Jesus rebukes him, and he says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. See, remember, Jesus is doing all this, quoting the scripture, when he's weak, when he's fasting, when he's lonely, when he's in danger. He's doing all that not in the palace. He's doing it in the wilderness. He's doing it when it's hard. During World War II, counterfeit money flooded Europe. It looked real, but it wasn't. Soldiers were trained to study the real currency so that when a fake one came through, they knew what the real one was. You see, Jesus knew scripture good enough to know that when Satan quoted the scripture that wasn't right, Jesus knew right away, that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit. No, this is what the Bible says. It is written. Do you know your Bible this morning? Do you have scripture verses that you run to help you get through hard times? Temptation always offers something quick. A quick fix. Boy, this world has offered a lot of things. Many of you have experienced them. Many of you would testify and say, kids, if we had you stand up here and you were willing to talk about things you went through in your life, bad decisions that you made in your life, all the temptations where the devil came at you and you fell into those temptations, and we gave you the mic this morning, you'd say, kids, don't do this. Right. You can say it with authority because you went through it. And you saw what it was like to go through those temptations and lose the battle against Satan. But now you know, if you're in church today, hey, I got the Bible now. I've got him in my life. Man, I'm going to come again, Satan. Go ahead and bring those temptations because I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run to the scripture and say, it is written. Good. Yeah. Young people have a hard time just trusting the adults in their life that are warning them of their experience. And they say, experience is the best teacher. No, someone else's experience can be the best teacher. Why do I want to go and experience some failure when someone else has already done it and showed me, don't do it this way, here's the better way. You're wise if you learn from that. You're still going to make mistakes along the way because you're a human being, you ain't perfect. But man, if you've seen other people, that's what my dad taught me all the time growing up, watch other people's decisions. Keep your eyes open, son, and watch people's decisions, whether good or bad, because someday you might face that same decision. And you saw how those people faced that decision. You saw what they did with it. How did it work out for them? A lot of times as Christians, we don't even pay attention to stuff. We don't pay attention to other decisions that are being made all around us, whether good or bad. And then all of a sudden, we are not prepared to face Satan's temptations, and we get hit. We get hit hard. We go through the wilderness. We go through the valley, and we're not ready for it. We don't lean upon him for help, for guidance along that way, and we fall to the tempter.
Yes.
We fall to his temptations. We fall back to our old ways. We fall back into the things that we were involved in before. Listen, we already know he's coming. You know Satan's after you. You made the mistake, apparently, of coming to church today. If you were trying to avoid Satan, you shouldn't have came to church today. But do you want God's blessing?
Come on now.
His blessings are way better.
Yes.
Coming to church and obeying God, getting in God's word, and living for him is the most rewarding and joyful thing you ever do in your life. You can't tell me, I've never met a Christian who was living for the Lord, coming to church faithfully, and reading their Bible faithfully, whoever said they hated it. I've never met anybody.
Right.
If they did, I know they weren't doing those three things. They just weren't. They gave in. They quit. But the Christians that are, man, they're at church. They come to church with a smile. I've seen many of you in church this morning. Ever since you've been here, you've had a glow about you. You're excited to be here. Maybe you had a rough week. You probably, in a room this big, we could name some things that went wrong this week. Let me tell you what happened this week. Man, we could just go on. Let me tell you what happened at work. Let me tell you what happened at our house this week. Holy moly. Man, goodness. We could go through, man, when we come to church, it's refreshing. There's just something about coming to a place like God created for us, because God put it in us to love church. God put it in us to love being around other Christians. God put it in us to sing and to love to sing and worship him. God put it in us to love preaching. God put it in us to want to change for the better. He put it in you. None of you came to church and said, man, I hope I go to church and learn to live for the devil. You came to church today because you're like, I need to make some better decisions. I need to get back on the straight and narrow. Man, I need to, I'm struggling in this area. And then all of a sudden the preacher hits and you're like, oh, why'd you have to hit on that? Come on now. Oh, you're right. Because we're all trying to get better. We're trying to do better in our life. But Satan keeps coming after us. He keeps tempting us. Because he does not want your life, your faithful life of coming to church, and you telling other people about church, and getting them to come to church. Whoa. You're doing too much. You see, if you're just coming to church, you're not doing anything for the Lord. Satan's not too worried about you. If you don't ever tell anybody else about the gospel, how they could ever get saved, you don't ever bring anybody to church, man, you never get involved in serving other people and doing anything great, the devil's like, well, they're a dead Christian. I mean, I can't change the fact that they're going to heaven. They're already going to heaven. But if they're just going to sit over there and do anything, why am I going to waste my time on them? But the Christians that are working and serving God and faithful to church and faithful in God's word and telling other people about the gospel and inviting people to church, red alert. Satan's like, whoa, too much is going on.
Amen.
Satan's not a big fan of Blessed Hill Baptist Church, in case you were wondering. He doesn't like this place. Because you know what we constantly do? We tell people how they can know for sure they can go to heaven. Satan wants everybody he can. He wants to fill up hell with as many humans as he possibly can. And any place that is trying to keep it from being filled is his enemy. So we are his enemy this morning. So we know who the enemy is. Should we know how to face his temptations when he comes at us? Should you know how to face his temptations? Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to prepare yourself for that? Or are you going to live a novice life on your own, handle everything on your own, and think you got it? Where has that gotten you in your life? Go ahead and look back. Where have you gotten yourself? I can tell you where I've gotten myself in a lot of trouble. And I learned from those mistakes. Say, okay, I don't want to go back to that anymore. Sorry, Lord, forgive me of that. Well, I don't know why I did that. I'm an idiot. Forgive me. I don't want to go back to that anymore. Please help me not to do that thing again. Help me not to do that sin again. Help me to have a better attitude next time with that. Help me to lean upon you. Help me not to walk away from Scripture when Satan's tempting me. You see, when we're going through the wilderness, we're going through a tough time, I've seen so many Christians that need a break from church. They just say, I can't do it today. No, I can't go to church today. Just too many happy people at church. I can't. They're not going to understand what I'm going through. I can't go there. I just need some, say it with me, what is it? I just need some me time. I just need some me time.
Come on, you hit it.
How many have heard that before? Raise your hand. How many have heard that before? Why? Because it's pushed all over in our society. You need you. You need to get away from everything else in this world. Everybody else, your church, your kids, your family, your spouse. Just, you need some you time. You know what happens when you get a lot of you time? I get ourselves in trouble. And Satan is like, oh, I've got him on my own. You see, ever watched a lion hunt after its prey? It doesn't go and attack a whole herd. It waits for one of the weakest one that is away from the pack. The king of the jungle. The lion. Who could kill whatever it wants. But what does it do? It wants it. Lions, they go after the weakest prey. The ones that get away by themselves. They surround it. Pounce on it. You think you can handle the devil? He's a lion coming after you. A fierce lion coming after you. You would never put yourself in that situation out in Africa. Oh, I'm going to go out there by myself. No, you would not. No, you wouldn't. So you wouldn't do that physically. Why would you do that with your whole life? You're facing something way worse than a lion. Way worse than a lion. Yet so many people, don't say it out loud, but inside, want me time. So I'm gonna release from everything else. I'm going to take a break from reading my Bible. I'm going to take a break from church for just a little bit. If I'm serving at my church, I'm going to take a break from all that. And Satan says, "Ooh, here's my window of opportunity. Here it is." Everything that was helping them, that wall of protection that was there, that was keeping me from getting to them, man, it's open. Oh, here we go. Here it is. Here's my opportunity. I'm ready to pounce. He's ready. He's smart. I don't want him to get anyone in this room. I don't want him to get anybody in our community. There's a reason why we go out and invite people to church. We hate the devil. We love God. Because he loves us, and he's got all the answers. And he's given you and me a way to get to heaven, and he's also given us a way of how to defeat our enemy in Satan. The triumph, number three, the triumph of the Savior. Not only do you get to go through the wilderness with Jesus' help, but there's triumph. There is victory. The Bible says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." You ever seen an animal try to attack a baby and the mama was around? You ever seen that before? It blows my mind sometimes how an animal that could never hurt the enemy, but it all shows is his presence to protect that baby, and boom, that animal will take off because it's scared. There's protection. That mom or that other animal will protect the little one. You know, we're like that infant. We're like that little one as Christians. We can't handle it on our. We cannot face our enemy on our own. We need help. Amen. Do you admit to that this morning, or are you too prideful to say I need help?
That's good.
I've gotten to a point. I've tried to do things on my own, and I'm sure many of you in this room could say you've tried to do things on your own and you've neglected your Savior. And it got you in some trouble, got to a point where you didn't want to be anymore, and you made some good decisions. The Christian life is a lot of times like a roller coaster, right? It's like a roller coaster. But you know who's on that roller coaster right next to you? Jesus. He's there. Some people get scared to death. I saw a husband and a wife, a video of them doing a base jump. You ever seen a base jump before where you jump off a cliff together and they were strapped together? And they were jumping off of a cliff together, and they're standing. They had one of the, I mean, you've seen those 360 cameras. You've seen those where you can hold a camera up, and it like gets like a view from like in front of you somehow. It's weird. I don't know how they work. But somehow they're holding this camera, and so you're looking at them, and they're just talking. They're on the, I mean, this couple thousand feet up, and the wife is in front, and the husband's already done this before. He's done this before, and he's been trying to get his wife, and she's just standing there. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can do this, honey. You can do this. No, I don't think I can. I mean, she's standing on the cliff. It's just right there. And she's just not looking down. She's, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. He's like, yes, you can do this. Trust me, you can do it. And she's just sitting there. I don't know. I think. And she takes a step back. He's like, no, you don't want to take a step back. I think I do. And she's like, yeah, let's just go home. He's like, nope, we're going. Boom, and he jumps off. Ah! water. She screams, and they get down to the bottom, and Olive says, "Are you glad you did that? That was incredible. That was awesome. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you pushed me. I'm so glad you... I would have never..." She's like, "I would have never have done this by myself, ever. Thank you." She was like, "I'll give her husband a hug. Like, it was this great experience." I'm not telling you to go do that. But I'm telling you is, life is scary by yourself. It's scary. Two things. Jesus will put you in situations that you can't handle by yourself. You're scared to do by yourself. But he says, "Don't worry about it. I'm right here with you. I'm right by your side. Let's go." And he gives you a little nudge. And sometimes we don't trust him enough and we fall. But guess what? He's still there. He picks you up. Come on, keep going. We fall again. He picks us up. Yes, he's always there for you. He never leaves you, the Bible says. Never leaves you. No matter when you give up on him, guess what? He's still there. He still wants to help you. You say, "Well, I've messed up 3 or 4 times. I went to church. I got back in church. Then I quit on church. Then I went back to church. I think he's done with me." No, he's not done with you. He's the God of the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth chance. He wants to help you along the way. Satan keeps coming after you, and Jesus is saying, "Just trust me. I know how to do this. I've done it before." But many of you are parents in here before, or your parents here this morning, and your kids do things, and you try to show them, "Don't do it like this." And you know, because you're an adult, like, that's the dumb way to do it. Like, trust me, like, it's not going to work. But for a kid who's never done it, they think a certain way is the right way. You ever done that before? Yeah. And you're, as an adult, already been through it, and you've not only have done it yourself, messed up yourself, you've seen tons of other people fail, and you've seen other people succeed at the right way of doing something. And yet a kid, it's hard for them to see how it's supposed to work. Many times with my kids, I'm constantly pushing them to their limits. Pushing them to their limits. They're scared to do something. Pushing them. And guess what? Every time they do it, the thing that they were scared to do, and then they do it, and they just trust me on it, they like love it. Any other parents like that? You push your kids. Me and my wife are total opposite. Mom's, "Oh, you don't have to do that." Me, "No, get in there. Do it. Do it. Jump off of that, you know, and do this, you know." And it's why husband and wives are there, to balance each other out, you know. And the husband gets them injured, and then the wife has to, you know, be there to help comfort them, you know. But with my kids, they're always, my three oldest ones are always nervous to do something, always for the first time. Go anywhere, do something. And I'm always pushing them to do more, pushing them to go and do more. And you know what happens? Then all of a sudden they do it, and they realize, "Man, that was easy. That wasn't hard. That was great." See, Jesus knows what he's pushing you to do, and he knows you can do it. He would not give you something to do. He wouldn't have you go a certain direction in your life if he didn't know you could do it with his help.
That's right.
He knows what you can handle. He knows what Satan's going to come after you with, and he's prepared for it. You're not, but he's prepared for it. Will you trust him this morning? Will you just say, "I don't know what he's going to tempt me with tomorrow, but I'm going to trust you because I know it is written. I know scripture is good there to help me. It's there to encourage me all along the way." I mean, anybody like boxing? Like boxing? My grandpa Dion. I never got into boxing much. My grandpa Dion, it was his favorite thing in the entire world. And every time I went to his house, "Hey, you want to watch some boxing?" I'm like, "Sure." If you want to spend time with my grandpa, man, boxing was the way to do it. To the point where my dad asked him if he could marry my mom while they were watching a boxing match. That's when he asked him, because my dad knew, if I'm going to get a yes out of him, it's going to be during a boxing match. He's not even going to think about it. He's like, "Oh, yeah, that sounds great." So literally, like, during a timeout, my dad asked him, and my grandpa said, and all of a sudden, it came off commercials. "Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah, that's great. All right, let's go." And got right into the boxing match. My grandpa loves boxing. But you know what? Boxing, guys go out there, it's crazy. They go out there and just beat the tar out of each other, right? And they're just exhausted. That minute gets, that bell gets rung. And you know who's over in their corner? Their trainer's there, right? Their trainer's there to help clean up the cuts, wipe the sweat off their brow, try to there give them some water and try to get them, encourage them. "You got this. I know you're getting destroyed, but you got it. Go ahead. Get in there. Come on. Go and knock them out." He's there to give them energy, give them strength, give them water, help them keep going all along the way. Same thing happened here in Matthew chapter 4. We see more than just a story about Jesus. Jesus finished his battle in the wilderness. Angels came, the Bible says, to minister to him. He was not abandoned. See, he went through the wilderness, and then the angels came there to comfort him afterwards. Likewise, us as Christians are going to get beat up in this world. Satan's going to do some things to us. They're going to roughen us up. But our comforter is there. And the comforter is Jesus Christ. Man, he's there to help you. I'm just trying to tell you who he is. And I can't even tell you enough because he's greater than everything I'm saying. Whatever I'm saying this morning, he's better than that. Amen. I'm missing a lot this morning. But he is greater than our tempter this morning. Jesus wasn't tempted in a palace. Where Adam fell in a garden of plenty, Jesus stood in a desert of nothing. There's also a true story in Maine, on the coast of Maine. There was a lighthouse that had been there for over 100 years. And it had been through hurricane after hurricane, storm after storm. Some of the storms, the waves and the water got so high that it went over and completely covered that lighthouse. And a reporter, no matter what, the light always would shine. When the storm would end and everything would calm down, the light was still there. And a reporter asked the keeper, he said, "How does it survive the storms?" He says, "Because it was built for the storms." He said, "You see, the builder knew the storms would come, so he anchored it deep on a solid rock." Man, what a truth to that. You see, you were built as a Christian to outlast these storms. You were built to conquer the storms with his help because you and I are anchored on the solid rock. Jesus Christ is the solid rock this morning. He is your answer. He is the one who's going to help you defeat your enemy, Satan, every single time. You don't have to lose. Did you know that? Is there anybody here that likes losing? Young people here like losing? Do you like losing? All right, good, because I hate losing. Guess what? You're already on the winning team. You're already on the winning team. Why don't you act like it this morning? Act like you're on the winning team. These three things, and I'm done. When God leads you into the wilderness, he has a purpose for you. Number two, when Satan tempts you, stand on the word. Number three, when the battle is over, God will send help. I think of that. There's a song coming to my mind right now. It goes, "A woman in the Bible days, her last meal almost gone. But God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, 'Woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today.' And before you even asked him, help was on the way. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray." I like this part. "Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. So just hold on a little longer, because help is on the way." Boy, help is there. The tempter is there too. You're going to face him by yourself. You're going to face him with him and say, "It is written." My dad said this all the time. You can't out-talk the devil, but you can outlast him because the word of God never fails. Never fails. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. But Lord, we thank you for being our comforter, Lord. We thank you for being our guide through the wilderness when we have no idea where we're going, what's going to happen, what type of temptations we're going to face. But Lord, I'm glad that you have all the answers. You know the way. And you know where I'm supposed to go. And Lord, I pray if there's any Christians here today that are doubting you this morning, I pray they'd get back on track. I pray they'd build up their trust in you and say, "Lord, I've been struggling. I've been trusting in myself. I've wanted too much of me time. Lord, I'm ready to get back to where I need to be and trusting you and obeying you and realizing that you know the way through the wilderness. You know how to defeat our enemy. And I'm just going to trust you." Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure, they're going to heaven. Boy, they've been facing the enemy their whole life. And they've never been able to defeat him, Lord, because they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. They don't have you living in their life. If there's somebody here who does not know that for sure, Lord, I pray that this morning they would not leave church today without letting us show them from the Bible how to be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you heard this message about having a comforter, having a Savior there to help you, I hate to say this, but he is not going to be there for you unless you've accepted him as your Savior and you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And if you want him in your life, and that's you here this morning, you say, man, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to make sure of that today. If you want to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, would you raise your hand this morning? Just raise it up. Say, I want to know. I want to make sure. I want to take care of that because I want to be able to face this tempter, the enemy, with some help. Is that you this morning? Raise your hand up. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We've had many, many people come to Christ over the last many weeks by doing this very thing. Anybody here at all? Good. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, there's some areas in my life where I've been allowing Satan to have the victory, and I need to trust God more and trust his word more and start saying it is written to him and start coming at the devil with the Lord and with his word.